He's been an incredible supporter of the arts, of freedom, of intellectual freedom, of government efficiency, and the role of government, and the noble role of government, frankly. Just too often we seem to get dragged down into the weeds of, frankly, idiocy about intransigence. And governance is a noble aspiration. It's leadership. It's some of the most selfless things that persons can do. The arts is part of that. And Senator Sheldon Whitehouse absolutely understands the function of the arts, the importance of the arts, the importance of building community. He's been a sort of clarion vocal call in the Senate. I don't know if you should watch the speech you did of maybe 4 months ago just about freedom and the importance of leadership in the world. It's just astonishing. So it's my distinct honor and privilege to have Senator Sheldon Whitehouse here to take us out.
Thank you, Barnaby. Barnaby leaves little gems wherever he goes, of various kinds. And my gem from Barnaby for tonight is weeds of idiocy. I'd never heard that phrase before you just said it. If I end up writing a book about this period of life in Washington, I think weeds of idiocy would be a very nice title, don't you? It is a true pleasure to be here. I want to thank Barnaby for his kind introduction and for helping to organize the event, and for truly being a wonderful national and international ambassador for our capital city. WaterFire has become a signature event, really, for us, and without Barnaby, there simply wouldn't be any WaterFire. I also want to thank the Rhode Island State Council for the Arts. Randy Rosenbaum is here. Thank you, Randy. And the City of Providence's Department of Art, Culture, and Tourism for helping to bring all of this together. And of course, all of the artists and business leaders, researchers, funders, local officials who have come together. And I particularly want to welcome those who've come from out of state. I think you will find that Providence is a very special place, and I hope very much that you can catch the WaterFire on Saturday night. It is a true must-see. When I think about what I love about Rhode Island and what makes Rhode Island such a special place, I'm often brought back to a particular phrase that dates back to 1934, when Gertrude Stein, who had been living in Paris, returned home to Oakland, California. After Paris, coming back to Oakland, Gertrude Stein looked around her and said, "There's no there there." It's a sentiment that a lot of Americans live and understand. And sadly, it's an expression that can be used to describe more and more corners of our country. We have all, at one point or another, been in a town or a part of town that has been completely colonized by national strip malls, national restaurant chains, national shopping chains. It is a place left bereft of any sense of place or history or character. All corporate heraldry and indistinguishable food, nothing giving you any indication of where in the world you are. Indeed, you could be anywhere because there's no there there. These places have succumbed to the kind of mindless development that crawls like a virus across our country. Driven by corporate appetites for efficiency and for profits, and too often unchecked by any purposeful planning or any conscientious or thoughtful local placemaking, it wipes out farmland and Main Street alike. The homogenization of America is a very serious quality of life issue, whether for big cities or small towns. When local eateries and neighborhood stores give way to national chains, there goes local identity. When green space and public artwork yield for more profitable structures, there goes community pride. When you don't know the guy or the gal behind the counter, when there's nothing about the place that is local, well, that leaves just a little bit less there. Some places, however, hold on to their deep roots. They treasure their history and their character. Some communities make a real effort to stick to and hold on to the things that are precious to them, that are unique to them. And that is Rhode Island. In Rhode Island, say what you want about our state, there is lots of there. We are passionate about our coasts and our seafaring culture. We are richly diverse and have been for decades and generations. We love our special food. And whether you prefer the clam cakes at Iggy's or at Aunt Carrie's in Narragansett, either way, you'll know you'll be getting a real taste of Rhode Island. Here in Providence, you can go up to Federal Hill and dine at a historic culinary institution like the Old Canteen. You can go across the street and pick up your St. Joseph de Zeppole at Cielo Brothers Bakery. You can head over to a newer addition to the local scene like Mediterraneo. If you're a bit of a history and crime buff, you can go to the old Coinomat, where Raymond Patriarca used to run the New England mob. If you like newer and more artistic things, you can go across town to the Steelyard. There is, wherever you go, you can find real tastes of Rhode Island, and you know when you're there that there's there. If you stick around here a while, you might be asked to join the Aurora Club, or the Hope Club, or the Providence Art Club, or the St. Bartholomew's Society, or the Rosario Hall. And trust me, if you've been any of those places, there's lots of there. In Rhode Island, you can have an old-fashioned rock and seaweed clam bake in Little Compton, and then celebrate at a Dominican street festival in Providence, and then have a cold one at the Hibernians in Newport. And if you just take a walk around these streets, it's no accident that you'll see Hurricane of 1938 markers on so many buildings around here. These walls didn't spring up yesterday. They've been here for generations, and they have important stories to tell us. The arts helps bring all of that together. It helps bring all of these wonderful Rhode Island elements into focus. Whether it's through an illuminating exhibition at the Rhode Island School of Design, through the spectacle of water fire on our rivers, or through the sights and sounds of a Portuguese feast parade, the arts and culture that surround us here bring people together and showcase Rhode Island as a singular and spectacular place. I am perhaps most hopeful when I see the energy and excitement that the younger generation of entrepreneurs and artists and leaders here in Providence has for living and working in Providence. If you listen to the business community and you find people who have gray hair, you very often find a lot of mumbling and grumbling about how things used to be on the way out to the country club. A younger generation sees Providence very differently, with different eyes, and they are very excited. I think they've probably been exposed their whole lives to the baleful presence of strip mall America, and not only here in Rhode Island, but across the country, this is a generation that is marking out that they want to live someplace where there is some there. Nearly 80 years after Gertrude Stein went back to Oakland, American artists continue to draw inspiration from the places and communities they call home, where there is that special touch of grace and uniqueness. And they mourn the loss, as we all do, when places fall victim to mindless corporate sprawl. Like Barnaby and Waterfire, they not only draw inspiration from the sense of place around them, but with their work, they add to and augment that unique sense of place that is at the heart of human belonging. Thank you very much.